Hi, and welcome back to this series on the core social psychology motives. And to the first part of this discussion around the second core social motive, understanding. First, let's think about what is meant by understanding in the sphere of social psychology. As far as the definition goes, the need for shared meaning and prediction from Have, Rijman, Have and Westhoff is as good as any. In order to function as an effective group, or even an ineffective group, there needs to be a level of shared understanding. And in an organisational context, this is often evident in a well-supported vision or corporate mission, a positive culture or set of values, and positive social cohesion aligned with the leadership. Of course, negative social cohesion of a group operating against a common enemy, the leadership or the suggested changes, for instance, also requires a shared understanding. In essence, there needs to be a focus on understanding when facing change elements such as leadership, organizational culture, resistance, and vision support. In this part of the series, I'll take a look at the first set of concepts and theories relating to understanding: social representation, attribution theory, and social judgment theory. So what do I mean by social representation? Well, social representation can be seen as values, beliefs, ideas, and behavioural practices shared by a group's members, and such representations are constructed from a shared knowledge and understanding of generally accepted reality. And this forms the vehicle for inter- and intra-group and interpersonal communication. Of course, over time, positions, opinions, and consensus changes. So social representations also change over time, being both the process and the result of social construction that is constantly being reinterpreted. The term social representation was created way back in 1961 by Moscovici, who also stated that its fundamental aim is to make the unfamiliar familiar, and who had defined it in more detail in 1973 as follows. So systems of values, ideas and practices with a twofold function. First, to establish an order which will enable individuals to orient themselves in their material and social world and to master it. Secondly, to enable communications to take place amongst members of a community by providing them with a code for social exchange and a code for naming and classifying unambiguously the various aspects of their world and their individual and group history. Now, the purpose is to represent issues in socially recognisable constructs according to a socially shared set of schemas, enabling them to be anchored in a common understanding and thus consistently interpreted. The process of taking a new abstract representation and normalizing it can be seen in the Toblerone model of social representations from Bauer and Gaskell, showing a relationship between the carriers of a representation, shown in the diagram as S subjects, objects O as the activity or idea being represented, and social group projects in which the representation meaning makes common sense, the surface within the diagram. When considering this from the perspective of organization and change, by anchoring a concept, the object, through establishing a meaning and relating it to an already established common frame or view, it takes on a familiarity, and then objectifying it through the association with familiar images to produce its own iconic form, it can become socially familiar and more established or concrete than abstract. Consider the fair trade concept, well known in the West, for a moment. This object or idea is now easily recognised as being a method of helping developing world farmers achieve better trade deals and conditions, encouraging sustainable farming. Yet, fair has no actual contextual meaning, as it is a subjective norm. But as a group, in this case the Western world, we gave it a more concrete, understandable principle, and thus an easily accepted idea. We changed the new proposed normal. It can be seen by many as abstract and lacking concrete meaning. So the leaders need to ensure key social objects such as vision, mission statement, corporate values and strategy, etc., are clearly and transparently defined, purpose explained, and end state elaborated. Belasco suggests that experience shows an energizing and compelling inspirational vision, properly communicated, think of Moscovici's socially shared and recognized conditions, is key to mobilizing support. In his statement, this vision is the picture that drives all action. We must not also forget that other objects, such as a sense of urgency, are also key. This was illustrated by Cotter's statement from 2012, where he said, by far the biggest mistake people make when trying to change organisations is to plunge ahead without establishing a high enough sense of urgency in fellow managers and employees. Okay, so now let's take a look at attribution theory. Now, we as a species tend to look at events and behaviours and try to attribute causes in order to make some sense from them. Essentially, this is attribution theory, the assignment of causes to behaviours of both the self and of others. It does go a level deeper, though, and tries to understand the how and why people explain the things as they do, generally by asking two primary questions. What do I do? Why do I do what I do? And why do others do what they do? And this is coming from the knowledge that emotional and motivational impulses such as anger and commitment are the drivers for most of our attributions. So when non-psychology trained individuals, the majority of people in change, look to explain behaviours, especially that of others, as part of the attribution process, there are typically three areas focused upon. Consistency, whether this is typical behaviour for the person or persons in most and other situations. Consensus, whether others behave in the same way under the same circumstances. And distinctiveness, when a behaviour or action by an individual is judged by another to be common or unusual. These are important as we use them to determine our decisions, such as whether to follow a leader or support or oppose a change process or plan. The big problem we have, though, is when we tend to fill in gaps, because it's easier and quicker than following all the information to a complete and detailed conclusion. In applying such shortcuts as patterning, applying stereotyping and benchmarking, because the information is either sparse or ambiguous, our personal biases direct our filling in, and we then attribute based on our prejudices. It is this very lack of completeness of information and opaqueness of explanation that interferes with appropriate attributions and starts to impact relations as well as performance, and the ultimate outcomes driving the change within organisation and change. Resistance is in the form of dragging feet or interfering with the change process is often the result of this problem not being addressed by leaders. Let's now turn our focus on to the third part, which is social judgment theory. What we know from psychology is that when we make judgments, we do so against the backdrop of our personal attitudes towards the idea being advocated and our own position regarding it. Sherif and Hovland in 1961 defined social judgment theory as the perception and evaluation of an idea by comparing it with current attitudes. Now, these current attitudes are in fact the anchoring point for our own personal position, being the preferred position by consensus or majority. However, there is also interplay from our judgment of any alternatives and our ego involvement in the advocated idea or position. It's worth noting that for those more ego involved, meaning the idea is more important to them, the more likely they are to have a larger latitude of rejection. And any suggested change could appear to them to be further away from their anchoring point, and they are unlikely to be easily persuaded otherwise. In contrast, if the idea or change is closer to their anchoring point, their personal attitude, their latitude of acceptance is also greater and will potentially make them open to persuasion. It is this involvement that is seen as a core concept in social judgment theory. Effectively, persons who have strong affiliations to the present ways and strong personal opinions are typically not willing to change, and are thus the ones who need the most communication and clarity of the basis or need for the change. It's worth recounting the concept of conformity and social identity here that we've talked about before, and more specifically the fact that the drive to belong to a group will see shifts in people's opinions and attitudes to fit in with the group norm. Resistance to change often sees individuals coalesce into a resistant group, and leaders need to be watchful for signs of this happening to avoid resistance gathering strength and momentum. Understanding of this concept should be built into the strategy and design of organizational culture, as well as in leadership behaviours and reactions to issues of commitment to change. Well, that's it for this time. In the next part, we take a look at the next sub-elements of the core motive of understanding, social learning theory and social impact theory.